Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We are having a celebration weekend, and we're celebrating 2,222 people coming to Jesus already this year. Isn't that awesome? I just want you to, my kids are probably somewhere in here right now, or they probably left right about now. You know, we celebrate often. We've been taking time in these last 6 weeks, and this will be the seventh week. We've been talking to you about values for success. This title of the series, Success is Not a Secret. And we really want to encourage you to open your heart to these simple principles that are fully scriptural and biblical. Each week has been a standalone message, and this week we're going to finish up with the value of celebrate often. And just very quickly, we started with put people first. And again, you can download these. They're all available to you online. The second, stay fit. The third, take next steps. Then make it better. Then own it. Last week, we talked about walking love. And this week, celebrate often. These are values that we actually agreed upon as a staff. These are things that we've embraced as a church that are biblical principles that have helped us to go to the places God's called us to go. And so we wrote these, we've committed to them, and I wanted to take the time in this series to share them with you because they transcend what happens at your church. These are everyday life principles of success. And remember, Bible success is not a siloed success. It's not success in one area of your life at the expense of others. Bible success hits one horizon to the other horizon of your life. And so today, I want to talk to you about celebrate often. And here's the statement that we wrote below it as a staff, that we are intentional about celebrating next steps, big and small. What you celebrate, you duplicate. So celebrate the victories, the milestones, and the accomplishments of everyone often. So let me start with that, celebrating next steps, both big steps and small steps. Because a person who does this, a person who celebrates their next step, is a person who's on a pathway to success. You know, the fact of it is this, we have a tendency in our lives to celebrate big things. And we're always looking for, and even the culture does that. Somebody wins the lottery, $200 million, it's something huge, great, the Super Bowl. You know, big things are typically celebrated, and that's okay. But the truth of it is, a successful person will learn how to live a life of celebration in their everyday life. And they'll celebrate every step that's taken by you and those you love, and you'll celebrate those. You know, if you're a parent, how many of you have kids or have raised kids? If you're a parent, you know this to be the case. When your children start to walk and they take their first steps, it's really a big deal to a parent. Now, here's what I know about your first child. Your first child's first steps were not really their first steps. You just thought they were because it was your first kid. And you wanted them to walk so badly, they literally didn't walk, and you thought they did, and you were convinced that they took the first step, and about a month later, they walked. By the time you have your third or fourth kid, you don't tell anybody they're walking until they're running, you know? But the fact of it is, as a parent, when they really do take that first step, and they kind of wobble, and then they fall. How many of you were, I mean, really, it's quite a moment for a first-time parent. Is you're running behind that child and you don't want to bump their head and you just celebrate it. They took a step. Now, I've never seen a parent do this. The child takes a step and falls and they step back and go, "You idiot. That's it? You know what your mother went through? And that's all you've got for us?" You've got to learn to celebrate next steps in your life. A person who does it really is a person who will learn how to live a successful life. Because God doesn't celebrate or focus, if you will, on the things in our past. He focuses on the potential of our life, the call upon our life, the next steps he's called us to take to bring us to the place he's called us to be. See, celebration, a person who lives a life of celebration. And let me be clear when I say celebration. Celebration doesn't always mean positive. Many people celebrate the wrong things in their life, and I'll talk to you about that in a moment. But when I talk today about celebration, the aspect of actually celebrating things in your life that appear to not be that big of a deal, but they really are progress. This kind of person is a person who learns to be thankful in the moment and then hopeful for the future. This is one of the values that I've struggled with the most, because I've always had a tendency to go to the next thing. It's probably, if not one of the greatest regrets of my life as a parent. And this is one of the reasons at Victory that when I say I have a passion for this, I don't have language to tell you the depths of this passion. It's one of the reasons that we're about to launch in a small group program for parents that will enable you to go to each step of your child's development and to sit in a room with people who have already been there, who have already been through the trials, the tests, the successes and the failures, and be able to give you that opportunity to go through life with people around you who have been where you are. But a person who celebrates is a person who learns how to be thankful for the moment, and they become hopeful for the future. And I missed so much when my kids were little. I worked more hours than I should have. I worked longer than I should have. And when I was there, I wasn't present all the time. And I don't know, maybe you're here today and you're like me. You're looking in the rearview mirror and you have some of those similar regrets. But for many of you, listen to me. You are right in the middle of this, where you're just so tired and you're so busy and the days are so long. But let me tell you, the years are so short. And I'm telling you, you can be in the middle of the most precious time of your life and not be present. And that's what I'm talking about when I say celebrate. I didn't do that. I regret that as deeply as anything in my life. Now, I've learned from it. I'm not that way anymore. In fact, I'm probably the other way. And to my kids' chagrin a little bit, they're maybe like, can the old man calm down? But he won't. Look, I sneak in. My kids are all home for the summer. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And my son is going to be a senior next year in college. So this might be our last summer all in our home together. Give me a moment. But here's the deal. When I get up early in the morning, I crack their doors and stare at them. The dude's 22. You know, and I just look at them. And I enjoy every last moment of it. And I celebrate the little things. When I see my kids, my girls, they say, well, you just need to calm down. I won't calm down. I won't do it. When I see them, I have to grab them. I have to squeeze their face. I have to hug them. And my daughter, Siana, it's the cutest thing in the world. When I hug her and kiss her, she's so sweet. She puts up with it. But she makes this face where she literally does this. And one of my favorite pictures of her and I together is as I was kissing her, and someone took a picture kissing her cheek and squeezing her cheeks, and she had that face that she makes. It's so cute. But I'm ruined for life, because I've learned to actually enjoy those moments, and I miss so much of that. And if you're a young parent, listen to me. Slow down. It's not that important. What you think's happening at work, you won't even remember it. Please, please, please celebrate the small things. I'm telling you, it will make you so grateful and thankful. Today, I am a thankful person for the smallest things. And when I was younger, I used to think in larger terms, that will make me happy. Can I tell you, when you have a life of celebration, and when you really start to live this way, you become thankful for really, really important things that if you're not careful, you'll overlook. But I want to encourage you tonight or today to celebrate right things, because it's very easy to celebrate the wrong thing. Celebration is what you give your mental energy to, your focus, your emotional energy to. And sometimes people celebrate the wrong things. Never, and I plead with you, and we're all human, I guess all of us could fall into this, never, ever, ever, ever in your life celebrate the downfall of another person. Never do that. Yeah, but they deserved it, and I knew that was coming, and you know what? Keep it to yourself. The Bible says we've received great mercy, and we that have received mercy should give mercy. Freely we've received, freely we should give. Never celebrate something bad happening in another person's life, ever. I love this statement that was said to me years ago when I was in Bible school. The founder of the Bible school would always say this: you never make mistakes your life brighter or your candle brighter by blowing out another person's. All you do is make the world darker. There's enough in the world that's critical. In fact, the 24/7 news cycle, they're searching for something to criticize. That's all it is, to sell peanut butter and to sell crackers and to sell whatever. And it's all ratings based, and they're trying to find the next thing to sensationalize or criticize. And you can get that in you where you become a critical person. Critical people are not successful. You must be a critical thinker, but critical people rarely are successful. And here's why. Because you're miserable. And nobody wants to be around you. I'll try this side. If critical people are not fun. Nobody wants to hang out with somebody. You walk in a room and say, let me tell you what I think. Well, you might be thinking something very wonderful, but nobody cares. Nobody wants to know because it's coming out of a very, very bitter person. Bitterness is a root, the Bible said, that will spring up and not just defile you, but defile many. A person who celebrates has a greater propensity toward success because people want to be around them. Much of success is simply favor. You can be the smartest guy or girl in the world, but if you walk in a room and people want to leave, that's a bad sign. Okay, well, we'll just move right on here. And don't just celebrate your own wins. Learn to celebrate the wins of other people. Because that's so important. Because a person who celebrates the wins of other people, that person is an encourager. And this world is absolutely desperate for encouragement. It's one of the reasons Joel Osteen has literally touched the planet. It's why Joel Osteen gets up and encourages people, and 45, 55 million people a weekend watch his broadcast. His church, I don't know, they run about 45,000 on a weekend. That's the attendance. Now, I understand a lot of Christians are very critical of Joel Osteen. And here's what I would encourage you to do. Shut up. You say, well, I'll tell you what I think. Just us. Come here. No one cares. No, let me tell you why. No, it's okay to clap, but listen, because God never came to me and asked permission to do anything with anybody in my life. The Bible tells me this, who are you that judges another man's servant? Is he your servant or is he God's servant? Well, he's not my servant. Then here's the King James way of saying it. Shutteth up thy moutheth. Just don't say it. Well, I don't agree with everything he says. I don't agree with everything I've said. So easy to be critical. Let me tell you, I can tell you the things he needs to do differently. And how many, 45 million people are listening to you on a weekend? No? Okay. So listen, you might be the guy or lady that walks in the room and clears the room out. Critical people are not fun to be around. Do you want to know why tens of millions of people want to listen to Joel? Because Joel encourages people. See, his message is fluff and it's this and that. Let me tell you, let me ask you how easy it is for you to get up every day and have a right attitude and to believe the best and be kind to people that are unkind to you. That's the central theme of his message. He said, well, he seems like he says the same thing every week. Surprise, surprise. Isn't it amazing how desperate people are to be encouraged? Or somebody will repackage the same message for 10 years and people will wait in line to hear it. If this world needs anything, it needs more people that are encouragers, not less. And so what do Christians do in the name of internet stupidity? Sit in their underwear and blog about a guy helping people. Is it just me, or is that the stupidest thing a Christian? Let me tell you my thoughts about someone that's no good. In Jesus' name, amen. Really? God doesn't need my advice or yours. This world is desperate for encouragement. And I would encourage you to understand this, that when you're a person that celebrates the wins of others, you become an encourager. And it's a great way to live, because what you celebrate in life, you actually duplicate. And most times, if we're not careful, we'll focus on our past and not on our tomorrow. And if you focus on your past, you're celebrating the wrong thing. Not just the bad things, but even your wins. That's why Paul said, I forget those things which are behind me, and I press forward to the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When Paul tells us the things he forgot or chose to forget, he starts with the good things in his life. I was born this, and I did this, and I did that, and I did this. And then he talks about the things he did that were, and I also did horrible things. I persecuted the church. And then he said this, but there's one thing I've learned. I've learned to forget those things which are behind me, that I might press forward to the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You've got to learn to do some forgetting as a Christian. You really do. And if you're going to be a person that lives a life of celebration, you can't focus on your yesterday. You're going to decide one of two things. Either you're going to live in your history or your destiny. And most people will be content living in their history. It's talking and thinking about all the things behind you that you can't change. Every one of us in this room can go backwards and think of regrets. When I think of my regrets, it makes me really sad. And you want to learn from those, and you want to help to amend those things if you can, and correct those situations if you can, and do your best to help that other people don't walk in those very painful shoes. But you know, at the end of the day, there's nothing behind you that you can change. And the fact of it is, that's why God didn't put a rearview mirror on the human body. It's why there are no eyeballs in the back of your head. We weren't meant to live behind. We were meant to live forward. Because when you look behind, you really end up duplicating the pain and the failures of yesterday. Because it is impossible to look behind and forward at the very same time. It's absolutely impossible. Look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. In Luke 9, 62, he said this. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus said that when you enter into the kingdom, that's by giving your life to him. He said the way you become unfit for service is when you look back. There were 1,000 things he could have said. He said, but when you put your hand to the plow or service of the kingdom, or I'm going to do what God called me to do with my life. And what does it mean, put your hand to the plow? How many of you know a plow is work? How many of you want to have a good marriage? Then you have to learn to put your hand to the plow and not look back. Yeah, but I look back, but my husband, my wife, and you can give 1,000 reasons why you can stay miserable. Now, I'm not talking about when one person chooses to do something you have no control over and there's an abusive situation or a serial adulterer or whatever. I don't mean that. I'm talking about just a deadlock of selfishness. If you're going to have a great marriage, you're going to have to put your hand to the marriage plow, keep going forward, and celebrate tomorrow. Because if every time y'all get in a disagreement, you bring out ghosts of Christmas past, say, do you remember what you did in 19 and 12? I'm telling you, it will destroy the fabric of anything in your life. Jesus said, if you're going to be fit to do what you're meant to do, you can't look backwards. You have nuclear potential. Don't settle for a firecracker life. I mean that with everything in me. You have been called of God. You have been graced by God. You have been born of God. You are a child of God. The greater one lives on the inside of you. You've been redeemed. You are a son and daughter of the living God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides on the inside of you. You are not meant to live a firecracker life. That's a nuclear explosion. And if you live in your yesterday, you'll live a firecracker life. A person who celebrates is a person who begins to expect good from the hand of God. Amen. That's what mercy is God doing good you don't deserve. And the Bible said that aspect of God's nature, his mercy endures how long? Forever. A person who understands celebration understands that Jesus celebrated people. He celebrated people. He didn't celebrate things, stuff, buildings. He celebrated people. And every gain that we should make in our life at its root should be about bettering the lives of people. Now, it may require some buildings. It may require some stuff. But at the end of the day, if that doesn't translate into a bettered family, a bettered person, a better world, then it's so short-lived. In Luke 15, I'll wind this down with this. Jesus was dealing with some stuff with people. He was hanging out with people that others had rejected. In fact, the religious crowd had just massively rejected these people, rejected them completely. And Jesus was hanging out with him. And then the religious crowd saw him running around and helping and talking to, the Bible called them notorious sinners. Everybody say notorious. Notorious. Now, if God says notorious sinners in the Bible, how many of you know there's sinners? Then there's notorious sinners. These are notorious. I mean, these are like some bad people. And Jesus is spending time with him. In fact, he was called, and this was derogatorily said of him, he was called the friend of sinners. And the religious crowd got around him and began to criticize him and said, why are you doing this? If you are really who they purport you to be, you would not spend time with such people. Now, Jesus was amazingly kind to people. Unimaginably kind to broken and desperate and sin-stained people. But there was a group of people that he was ruthless with. And I don't mean a little bit ruthless. I mean beat on you ruthless. So we mean Jesus beating on people. There's a place in Scripture where he found cords and he put them together and made a whip out of the cords, went into the temple and started beating people and driving them out of the temple and flipping over their tables of where they did commerce in the temple. And they were taking advantage of God's people and stealing from God's people. Listen, this is Jesus. Listen, how can I say this politely? Hollywood has made Jesus this kind of effeminate man. And I'm not putting down people who struggle with anything in their life. I'm just simply saying that wasn't who he is. It is not who he was when he was on the earth. He didn't walk around like the movies show him with like blondish brown hair and blue eyes. He was Middle Eastern. And isn't it amazing? All the movies about Jesus, he talks like this. Peter, oh, what a lovely thing to do. Nothing of it. Look, you're English, we love you. You have bad food over there, but we love you. So that's not nice. It's true. Shepherd pie, really? Pasta vajoule. Shepherd pie. Anyway, Jesus looked religious people, self-righteous people, people who thought they were better than others, people who celebrated themselves above other people, people who created a class system in which others were less than them. He looked them eyeballs to eyeballs. He said, you stink. He did. Jesus coined that, by the way. Your kid didn't. You stink. Jesus said it first. He said, well, Elizabethan English, you stinketh. He said, you guys are like a tomb. You clean out the outside. You put a pretty little stone at the graveside. But inside, it's full of death and extortion. That's you. He said, you're blind leaders of the blind. You both fall in the ditch. He said, you guys, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. That is a great bust. I wish I'd use that on Steve Moore. I mean, come on. This is Jesus. But let me tell you, he celebrated people. But let me tell you, the self-righteous, I think it was Moody that said, the only man that will leave the presence of God without being full of God is a man who's full of himself. And it's so true. Jesus celebrated human beings with needs, with brokenness, with issues. Anybody got them some issues? How many of you have no issues in your life? All the liars, raise your hand in the name. People have stuff. And Jesus was helping these people. And the religious crowd said, that's it, man. You can't be doing this. This is wrong. And let me read you very quickly the three scriptures where Jesus gave about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Listen to what he said about celebrating broken people. And he's answering the charge of why do you help and love people. In Luke 15, 6, he said this. He said, this is when they found the sheep. When they got home with their friends and neighbors, he said, celebrate with me. I found my lost sheep. Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. He's talking to self-righteous people who think they have no need of rescue. He said, let me tell you something, guys. There's more joy in heaven over that one guy over there that you hated, that God loved, than all of you all that think you don't need God. He said there's a celebration in heaven. Do you know 2,222 times since January to this day in May, we have seen heaven celebrate 2,222 people give their life to Jesus. You want to turn heaven on? Win people to Jesus. It's an amazing way to live. Then the woman that lost the coin, she finds it in Luke 15:9. When she finds it, it can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbors. Celebrate with me. Jesus celebrates people. Celebrate with me. I found my lost coin. Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost person turns to God. Parties in heaven. See, people think of heaven as boring. Heaven is going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a place of perpetual awe. It's going to be like the last second touchdown when the Steelers beat the Arizona Cardinals in the Super Bowl when Roethlisberger threw the ball and what was it? Who was the guy that caught it? It's Santonio Holmes. And Steve Moore dove over a couch and tackled me when it happened. And he got it. At last day, we won the Super Bowl. People were like, How many of you remember that day? Awesome day, wasn't it? So I don't watch football. That's unspiritual. Well, go to another church. God loves football. Anyway, just having fun. Just teasing. I'm celebrating. Heaven is going to be that moment magnified unimaginably every second for eternity. Because can we be honest? How many of you ever thought about heaven and think, I'm going to get bored? Because they said you got to worship God like forever. So how long can I go, love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Praise you, God. Really love you, God. Love you, Lord. Because that's it's going to be hair on fire, go for it, forever. Every moment, forever. I don't know about y'all, that's going to be fun. So why do you want to wait to die to have fun? Have it now. Celebrate life now. Lastly, there was a lost son. The boy had left his father's inheritance, took the inheritance, blew it on all kind of crazy stuff, prostitutes and booze, and today it would have been drugs. A perfect picture of an addict. And the boy comes back home trying to work his way back into his father's house. His dad just takes him in, loves on him. And his older brother, who he's referring to point to this religious crowd, is angry because of the mercy of his father. And here's what the father said to the oldest son. He said, son, this is Luke 15:31. Don't you understand you're with me all the time and everything that is mine is yours? But this is a wonderful time. And we had to celebrate. We had to do it. For this brother of yours was dead and he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. This is what God's saying. You have to celebrate people. You are the precious fruit of the earth. You're the reason Jesus died. God celebrates your life today. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, and the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Oh, how he loves you. How he celebrates you. Let's learn to let the celebration the Father has for us, let that seep into your life and learn to live celebration life for others. Amen. Let's pray together. Would you bow your heads with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here tonight or this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, if today you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? You see, there really is a heaven to gain and a hell to miss. And Jesus died on the altar of a cross to pay the sin debt for the whole world. My sin debt, your sin debt. And I want to encourage you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you've never given your life to the one who gave his life for you, I want to pray for you. Oh, how he loves you. And all you need to do to receive eternal life is to accept the one who died for you. And turn your life over to him and just walk with him in everyday life. Oh, how he loves you. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you'd say to me, Pastor John, please pray for me. I want to invite Jesus in my heart. In a moment, I'll ask you to pray with me right where you're seated. The whole church, in fact, will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. I promise I'm not here to embarrass you. This is for you to give your life to Jesus, the opportunity to receive eternal life. What a way to celebrate your life by receiving eternal life. So if you're here today and you're not certain what would happen if you drew your final breath today, slipped into an eternity, say, Pastor John, please include me in that prayer. Every head is bowed, Every eye is closed right where you're seated. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer and I'll pray for you. Lift your hand up real high where I can see it. Do it right now and I'll pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You've not yet raised your hand. Say, Pastor, include me with those many that are receiving Christ today. I want to know him as well. I want heaven to celebrate over my decision to give my life to Christ. Every head is bowed, every eyes closed. One last moment. Wonderful. Hey, if you raised your hand, thank you. Or you should have. Pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now heaven bound, my sin washed away, and Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.